It's every day, bro. It's every day, bro. Says Shriganum Fungus. It doesn't stop. JFG tonight never stops. Almost never. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? M says, just heard Morgoth and Medinal Woes talking about the Skeptic Wars, and they fondly remember your entrance into Destroying Krat. Oh, those were the good days, my friend. Those were the days where anything could happen, where I was starting a stream and it was a historical event. I don't think we'll ever get that level of excitement with the internet because of all the censorship and the little bubbles of circle jerking and the fact that people are more careful now. They won't publish a video that says all sorts of, they will limit their statements, so they will never get with something as stupid as Krat would. But oh my god, those were the good days. That was good. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I just went to church with Mama JF. We went to local church that we like to go. I have bad news, guys. According to the sermon today, my soul is going straight to hell. I have not accepted Jesus in my heart. Unless I repent at the last minute in my life, in the current trajectory, my soul would be headed straight to hell. It was good. It was good to hear some Christian talking. I really like Christian churches, and it was good to hear a pastor say, he was saying how Christians are too soft these days, and that yes, it's hell that awaits you if you don't accept Jesus Christ. Funny and interesting statement. And of course, I go there accompanying Mama JF because she is a believer. But on my side, I have never, I believed in God when I was 12 years old. I had this feeling that there was a God above my room and that he was checking me and that I had to act correctly in every way, or else God would be frustrated against me. But that thought went away and never came back. And I never believed in God since then. California Governor Gavin Newsom signs a bill decriminalizing jaywalking. Advocates of the bill decriminalizing jaywalking argued it will end instances of racial profiling. Here you have. That is a very classical thing where you have some advocates who start believing that a law is racist or that the police are racist in their implementation of the law. But what's probably happening here is that your white population just likes to respect the law and they don't jaywalk because they know it's dangerous. They know all of the consequences, and they don't want to be caught committing a crime, and they could die, and they could also cause all sorts of problems to the drivers who hit them. Now, it's a big problem. When you start decriminalizing jaywalking, first there's going to be people walking around and crossing the roads whenever. This will increase the level of stress of drivers. Drivers will now have to be super careful, because you know there will be a high risk that some people cross the street at an unannounced moment. And in fact, it poses a big question of, as long as jaywalking was criminal, a driver couldn't get in trouble for hitting someone who was jaywalking, because then it was the unclean hands doctrine. You cannot sue someone for an action that you committed that is criminal. But if it's not criminal anymore, then who has the responsibility when a driver hits a pedestrian and the pedestrian is at fault in that he crossed the street at some bizarre place and with some degree of surprise and speed? Unfortunately, I think that under this new circumstance, there will be a lot of drivers who will get sued or who will potentially be found to have be responsible for the accident. John Drake says, get ready for a bump in your insurance premiums, California. Yeah, I mean, if you still live in California, you deserve to pay $5,000 of insurance premium. Someone shared a song on the Discord. It's from 2016, but I had never heard this. So it's a sensibilization campaign that says you don't drink petrol from a, you don't sniff petrol from a can. Is this a joke? What's the level of humor here? Was there actually a population that needed to be told not to sniff petrol from a can? I mean, I agree with the song. You don't sniff petrol from a can. But is this a joke? Is this laughing about a fake campaign that would be needed? Or was a campaign actually needed? I mean, it's kind of entertaining and it's good music. You know, I feel listening to this music, I feel an unstoppable need to not drink, not sniff petrol from a can. But yeah, I mean, I didn't know that this existed. Kulu says, yes, jet fuel is a popular high in certain area. Dr. Grimm says, this is a real thing. But even I understand that it's a real thing that people are sniffing petrol from a can. But is this campaign, like, is it really a campaign, or is it to laugh at the possibility of a campaign? That's what I don't get. Ladies and gentlemen, a big victory for the revolutionary phenotype. The artificial intelligence, you know how people are continuously discussing with these robots, and because of this the robots keep learning about technology and culture and starts having more and more serious response to human beings. The AI Val using GPT-3 is now based on the revolutionary phenotype question. He is TRP-pilled. Someone typed in the search query AI eugenics program. And the answer of Contessa, some potential problems with an AI eugenics program include the ethical implications of using AI to manipulate the human genome, the possibility of creating unforeseen and undesirable side effects, the likelihood of abuse and misuse of such a powerful technology. DK Shadow says super intelligence is near. Yeah, well, one day the AI is not just going to know about the dangers, it's going to want to be to be the danger. So I don't know that it's a good news, but it's kind of a good news that the idea of manipulation of genetics with AI is penetrating the mainstream culture enough that it shows in our AI answers. The Ukrainians have been bragging about recapturing the town of Lyman a day after Putin's annexation speech. So that's in Donetsk. It represents some kind of an advancement for the Ukrainian forces, but this is in the face of a withdrawing Russian front. And I mean, how long do you think you can stay in that Lyman town before the airstrikes of the Russian army come to you? I don't think it's a massive victory, and I think it's easily undoable. The thing is, okay, you are advancing your front, but are you prepared to receive missiles from the air potentially being dropped by the planes of Russians? Are you able to sustain this? Or will that make you back away in a few days and then Lyman could be back in the hands of the Russians? I don't think it's much of an advance. I think it's more something for celebrating on the internet and making it look like a serious counter-offensive effort is going on. But I don't think that the Russian army can be pushed back in many towns like this. I think they are simply recovering, backing a little bit, regrouping, and then they can advance as fast as they did as the beginning of this war. So there was a celebration by Blinken of the sabotage attacks on Nord Stream pipelines, and he calls them a tremendous opportunity. Can you make it less obvious that it's the US? I mean, if you're gonna make it that obvious, why don't you just say, yeah, we bombed the pipelines because we don't like the idea of a free nation like Germany dealing with a free nation like Russia. But he calls them a tremendous opportunity that happens to be the opportunity that we should use to reduce dependence on Russian energy.
Ultimately, this is also a tremendous opportunity. It's a tremendous opportunity to once and for all remove the dependence on Russian energy, and thus to take away from Vladimir Putin the weaponization of energy as a means of advancing his imperial designs. That's very significant, and that offers tremendous strategic opportunity for the years to come. But meanwhile, we're determined to do everything we possibly can to make sure that the consequences of all of this are not borne by citizens in our countries or, for that matter, around the world. Ultimately,
All right, so as far as I'm concerned, that's an admission that if it's not the US that did it, it's certainly totally in line with the US interest and it was part of the plan. And if it's some other country like Ukraine that put the plan in action, it must have been with the green light from the US here. People were sharing this on the Keith Woods Telegram. The Morgenthau plan. Apparently, what we're seeing being deployed right now, the whole attack on Germany industrial capacity, because this is what the war in Ukraine is about, ultimately. It's about, okay, Russia passed around Ukraine to bring energy to Germany. Germany is becoming too powerful, and we want Germany to be not powerful at all. That's basically what's happening. And it's the Morgenthau plan. Apparently, this was a possible outcome of World War II that people wanted to put in action. And it's being put in action basically instead of back then. It's now being put in action in 2022. The Morgenthau plan was a proposal to eliminate Germany's ability to wage war following World War II by eliminating its arms industry and removing or destroying other key industries basic to military strength. This included the removal or destruction of all industrial plants and equipment in the Ruhr. It was first proposed by the United States Secretary of the Treasury, Henry Morgenthau, in a 1944 memorandum entitled Suggested Post-Surrender Program for Germany. While the Morgenthau Plan had some influence until 1947 on Allied planning for the occupation of Germany, it was not adopted. US occupation policies aimed at industrial disarmament but contained a number of deliberate loopholes, limiting any action to short-term military measures and preventing large-scale destruction of mines and industrial plants, giving wide-ranging discretion to the military governor and Morgenthau's opponents at the War Department. So basically, basically, a plan had been laid out. They wanted Germany to be incapable of producing industrially, even outside of the areas of the military. And this is being put in action right now. Now, when you realize what the empire is going after right now, it's two big old enemies of the Jewish community. Basically, Russia for having divorced with Jewish rule when it turned into a non-communistic empire, if you will, progressively. And in fact, before even the Berlin Wall fell, there has been basically a divorce from having exclusively Jewish elites managing Russia. And then you have Germany. Of course, Germany hated by the Jewish community for World War II events. So that's what's happening here. We have a backlash of revenge. And I don't know that it's properly directed here, even from an emotional perspective. I don't know that by punishing the Germans of today, you're kind of getting back at the Nazis. And I don't know that by punishing the Russians of today, you're punishing, the Russians who have eventually taken over their nation to administer it. Dino Rogovich says there's always the USA for the elites. Yes, well, that's what we've seen, and now the USA is becoming this player in this chess game of enacting revenge against to perceive the old enemies. But how is Germany of today an enemy? I don't get it. But it's probably you don't want to look for that much of a rational explanation. I think there's much emotion playing into this. I believe that this anti-Russian hate that we've seen, it stems from irrational roots. Dino Rogovich says there must be a genetic vindictive behavior at play here. Perhaps it is that. Perhaps it is that when you really record someone as your enemy, even if the rationality of it doesn't make much sense over time, over intergenerational time, perhaps it remains your enemy, and you remain educated in that culture of hate that makes you want to get revenge. Lawrence Forbes has sent a super chat on entropy. Thank you so much. He says, "Hi, JF, it's been a while. Please be careful venturing into churches. Even objective researchers going into cults to investigate them have been sucked in. No one is immune. I hope Mama will be healed of her delusions of God. I sympathize with you." Well, I'm certainly not going to the church with the idea of studying a population or investigating the Christians. No, I feel that I am part of a Christian society, and I'm part of a Christian. I'm the result of a Christian education, so I certainly don't go there to observe. It's not this. I go there because it's a cultural thing in my society and in the kind of society that I want. So that's it. And as far as being tempted by a belief in God, perhaps I will be if I lose my mind at some point. I become old, I lose cognitive processing abilities. Who knows? But does it matter really what people say when they're old? You know my stance, what kind of rational thoughts I stand for. And if I ever start saying differently, you can discard it as, oh my God, old JF divagating. Does that work with you? Thomas O'Ward says, "I hope JF doesn't mention Putin kicking out the globalist in 2018 and the oligarchs in 2022." And he then continues his comment, but I will not read the rest. I didn't know that there was an attack of Putin onto globalists in Russia. I would have to read about it. I didn't know that it dated so recently. If you tell me that this happened in 2018 and 2022, to me, the revenge I'm talking about dates back. I don't know. I'd have to read the details, but probably in the 60s and 70s when Russia took another path than absolute Jewish rule. Thomas O'Ward says JF is attending church. Fantastic. If you don't love Jesus, you can go to hell. Okay. I'll consider this. I'll see what I do, but I think I don't believe in Jesus. And Shelburne says, Mama JF, I support your religiosity. All right, Shelburne, one of the females of the chat, is here with us. Thank you for being here. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats. It's the right way to send support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy, or you can join the Patreon or the Subscribestar. At the $20 level, we will have our private hangout in about 10 to 15 days from now. So it's the right time to join if you would like. Next level, cringeworthy. AI robot expert react to Tesla's Optimus humanoid robot reveal. I do want to set some expectations with respect to our Optimus robot. As you know, last year it was just a person in a robot suit, but we've come a long way, and it's compared to that, it's going to be very impressive. It was a per They put a human in a robot suit last year. I missed this one. Holy shit, that is bad. You have to act out your humanoid robot with an actual human. But yeah, people are discussing just the superiority of Boston Dynamics. Listen, Optimus is a decade backward compared to any of this. Autistic child in the area. This could be a sign that I eventually used to replace the Quebec flag in my TV background here. Wouldn't it be great? Autistic child in the area. Sign warning drivers about child with autism vandalized over controversial wording. So apparently a mother of an autistic child was frustrated, and she barred it and wrote "child with autism" in area. I don't get it how that's a problem. Autistic with autism. I think everyone knows that when we're talking about an autistic child, we are talking about a child with autism. I don't take offense with the autistic, I think that what they're saying is that it's kind of make you your essence, like you're an autist before being a child, and you're all sorts of things. The linguistic order by which you present those things can be arbitrary, and it doesn't mean anything. I don't see why people take issue with this, because in 50 years from now, child with autism will be, oh, it's too rough. We need a euphemism for this. I mean, at some point you have to stop this constant this surfing of euphemism that never stops. It's like a wave that never stops. You have to say, all right, I'm going to stop here, and autistic child is perfectly fine. Frickin' normies, says Nicholas Petrus. Yeah, and if you need to tell your neighborhood that there's an autistic child in your area, the thing is, he probably has something else than autism. He's probably mentally, he probably has an intelligence or developmental problem. Because autism in and of itself, shouldn't be that much of a problem. You shouldn't have to warn drivers. Now, the mother was saying that basically this child of hers has reached the age where he is capable of opening the entry door. And he's opening the entry door. What he does is he gets out of the house and he starts running. And sometimes he starts running toward the street. Now, before you put a sign that says autistic child here, what you should do is you should buy a system of locks that are higher than what he can reach. What the fuck are you doing? If your child And by the way, autism doesn't make you run like this. Your child may have some developmental issue. Your child may have some processing and learning issue. It's often accompanies autism, but autism in and of itself is not what's at play here. And I'm so annoyed that they've turned autism into basically everything that a parent experiments with a child who happens to have two, three, or four disorders at the same time. So first, before you warn drivers, why don't you put a lock on the door that your child can't open? Shouldn't be too hard. Put these locks on two, three, four doors maximum that you have in the house. That will save you the trouble, because a driver will read this sign or won't, or perhaps he will be actually visually distracted by the sign and he's going to hit your kid because he's like, holy shit, up this, boom. You know, so try to stop the danger before it comes. All right. Ukrainian girl, 8-year-old, is left fighting for life after being stabbed repeatedly, and mother is found unconscious at the scene at refugee accommodation in Ireland. Oh, yeah, you wanted to be a refugee in a Western country, you're going to have to be pulled with the refugee processing, and the refugee processing of the West is not very Western. The 8-year-old victim suffered multiple stab wounds yesterday morning. Her mother was also found unconscious at the scene in County Clare, Ireland. The pair were rushed to hospital and are both remain in critical condition. Detectives from Ennis Garda Station are now conducting an investigation. Well, yeah, I mean, there's no way around this. The places for refugees will become places of criminality, and they will be filled with people who are not part of the country that you want to go to. So they will be you will have an African / Middle East / South American standard of behavior and criminality. And since you are being pulled with refugees, you are being pulled with people who are fleeing a high criminality country. And so many of them will be criminal at the rate at which their country usually produces them. This is Africa. 2,000 strong mob sexually assault girls and cause havoc in Italian lakefront towns. A mob of an estimated 2,000 or so young men, mostly from migrant backgrounds, according to reports, terrorized towns along with Lake Garda in northern Italy. So we have images of those events. You have such waves of migrants that it basically forms an uncontrollable mob that starts acting insane and starts feeling like they can harass old white people, and they can do whatever because they're white, and they can do whatever because they're new refugees and they're partying from their new status in our countries. So here you can see them joining in dangerously on some cart that is getting pulled, tapping to terrorize the old white people. So this is like more than a few hundred. This is a few hundred uncontrollable people who benefit from the anonymity of the crowd, from the speed of the moment. So of course you're going to get stabbings when this happens later at night, and you're going to get rapes, and you're going to get everything. Now you got some police that comes in, but they can only push these these crowds. It's just too many people for 5 or 6 police and gears to be able to control. So don't invite in your country crowds that are uncontrollable. Reduce the numbers. As far as I'm concerned, reduce it to 0, and you won't have problems. Iran says U.S. agreed to unfreeze $7 billion in assets after release of father and son, despite an ongoing deadly crackdown in a third week of Iranian citizens' anti-hijab protest. The United States has negotiated an important prisoner release with Tehran. Iran, for its part, says the U.S. agreed to unfreeze a whopping $7 billion in Iranian funds held in foreign banks. However, the White House hasn't verified this claim or agreement. Of course, they're never going to say it, because if they say it, that will allow future negotiators to know, wow, you're ready to give $7 billion for 2 people. Apparently, it's it's 2 people who were imprisoned for spying in Iran, but it was claimed that the spying charges were ridiculous and that espionage-related charges. His father, a former UN official, was also convicted for spying. So you have countries, they hold stuff against each other. Like, this money was taken from Iran absolutely illegally by the US. And okay, perhaps these two guys were imprisoned illegally by Iran. Now you have Iran probably, you know, alarmed in front of some of the protests that are going on in its own countries. They need funds. They want funds. And so eventually they decide to release these guys and they get $7 billion back in exchange. Tower of Bones. Isn't that a spooky name? Is that your Halloween nickname? Tower of Bones. Says Jeff, I had to install a hotel room style bar lock up for my son. They claim he's autistic, but in reality I know he's just stupid like his mother. Lol. High mutational load. My wife has BPD. Well, bro, you seem to be taking it pretty well. You seem to be pretty zen about it. So, all good, bro. I don't judge you. It seems that you have settled for, all right, my children are going to be stupid, but, you know, you just add a lock here and there, and their stupidity won't kill them. Wonderful. New Virginia law mandates public schools alert parents to sexually explicit instructional material. Fox News is covering this as a massive victory for parents. For parental rights, although I will say it's a very small victory. This should go, this shouldn't be a fight that you even need to lead. Parental consent should be much more specific on lots of things. Now, at least they will have control of sexually explicit material. That's a good thing. If that's all you can control, then you still have the problem of activism, the problem of, you know, basically Marxism in the classroom. But it's a good start. It's a good start that at least in Virginia, anything that involves sex will be shown to the parents first, and the parent can decide to choose for an alternative where there wouldn't be sexual talk at all. But it's a good start because it forces these teachers, even these teachers who would want to be militant and activist, they're going to be forced to process first parental consent. And if they don't ask for parental consent first, then the school will automatically know, okay, this was something that they were actively trying to hide from the parents. John Drake says, the leaked white paper advocating for the U.S. to keep the war in Ukraine going perpetually in an effort to weaken Germany is from the RAND Corporation. Rand has released a statement claiming it's fake. Okay, I would need to check it. I do not know. I don't think that I covered that news unless it was covered in some other news that I've covered. But yeah, I've heard of this leak and I didn't pay much attention to it. It didn't seem super strong. It seemed too good to be true. So I decided not to cover it. Decided to wait a little bit to let the time pass. Now, it's not because a corporation like this, because Rand is pretty much a high-level American policy controller. And so they could lie. They could say it's fake when in fact it's not totally fake. They could make a partial denial that looks like a full denial, but that's not one. But for reasons that I wasn't convinced, I decided not to cover that thing. So I'm happy to hear that there is now contestation, because it's very rare that I take a decision to not talk about something because it's interesting. But I, for the purpose of keeping credibility, sometimes I choose to let go, at least pause my coverage, say, I'm going to look at this in 5 days and see if it's still there. Thomas Howard says, yikes, BPD and autism, it's true what they say. Choosing the woman you marry and have kids with is the most important financial decision a man can make. It is, but at the same time, you should never delude yourself into thinking that you can know everything about the woman before life keeps going with her. So because you can't know, it's not a decision that you should delay forever with the hope of finding the perfect one at all time. Because the fact is, a lot of women will just betray you right when the baby arrives, or even before, when they're pregnant. So, and the ways you could tell that in advance are not 100%. Will the call for a Yale boycott be a wake-up call for the woke? Don't bet on it. Judge James C. Ho of the United States Court of Appeal for the Fifth Circuit recently made headlines when he publicly declared that he would no longer consider graduates of Yale Law School for clerkship positions due to the erosion of free speech rights at the university. In my view, Judge Ho is right on the merits, but wrong on the means. Well, at some point, you know, we are being... The other side is using boycott and censorship against us. So at some point, we have to say, all right, we're going to develop a parallel existence, and eventually that new parallel existence will be the American mainstream. Eventually people will converge back toward liberty. We will develop a parallel internet, and in this parallel internet, we will be able to discuss things just like we were at the beginning of YouTube. And here you have a judge that says, I'm going to develop a parallel judiciary. It's a judge gone its own way. Who says, I'm not going to take people from this woke university, because this woke university doesn't stand for a fundamental principle of the American Constitution. Keith Richardson says, but yeah, he's a federal judge, so what? So what does that change? I mean, he is acting in line with the Constitution. He's saying, this educational environment that those woke universities have become, it's Yale, the Yale University, probably related to Yale University censoring or not letting some speech happen, I guess. he's saying this is not the right environment to form minds that will then believe in the Constitution and apply it. He's right. He's right. Our university system is totally converging away from honoring the Constitution. So how can a Yale law graduate be able to respect and make an oath to the Constitution when he's not been exposed to free speech ever in his entire educational path. Oath Keepers, seditious conspiracy trial could hinge on a centuries-old militia laws, the Insurrection Act, a federal law that dates to 1792 could play a major role in whether five Oath Keepers defendants on trial for seditious conspiracy in Washington are convicted of an alleged plot to attack the Capitol on January 6th or acquitted because one can't conspire to do something legal. The Insurrection Act has become widely discussed in the run-up to the trial of Oath Keepers founder Elmer Stuart Rhodes. Prosecutors contend the Insurrection Act is nothing but a legal cover for the Oath Keepers to use force to interrupt the counting of the Electoral College votes. It's got to boil down to, do they have messages, private messages that they would have exchanged that night or that day or the night before saying, we are doing this because we want to stop the vote. So it all depends. Or are there recordings of them saying this? Because most people who went to January 6th probably went with the idea of we're going to present our grievance to the government, which is explicitly protected in the Constitution. So you're going to have serious proof of criminal intent if you want anything in terms of punishment for these guys. Thomas Howard says, I've seen a lot of very attractive girls at the gym lately performing workouts with an emphasis on the hip abduction and hip abduction machine, especially abduction, along with dragging a bench in front of the Smith machine, laying across it, placing the bar over the knees and performing hip thrust. I wondered what they are specifically training for. Later, I understand why. Obviously, obvious red flag, as mentioned earlier. How is that a red flag? It's a red flag that they are working on their abdomen, but they probably do this because they want to reduce belly fat and transform some tissues in muscle. How is that a red flag? Explain to me. Kissinger warns Washington warmongers it would not be wise to include Ukraine in NATO. Love him or hate him, Henry Kissinger has been awkwardly frank amid the neoconization of Washington's ruling elite. In the last year or so, he was lambasted by the blue check marks in May. Oh, wait, I think I may have guessed what Thomas Howard means. It's a red flag because they are working on their ass so as to favor their ability to twerk. Is that what's happening in the gyms? Because I don't go in the gyms. Thomas Howard, you are my main contact in the gyms of America. As the female population converge to a cultural appropriation of the twerking, so much so that they have to go train, so that they have more muscle, so they can twerk more. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that would be a red flag. That would definitely be a red flag. So Kissinger warning, not wise to include Ukraine in NATO. Well, certainly not. But the problem is, I don't think that the Washington elite want to do something wise. I think they might want to cause a war immediately with Russia, and if so, they will do that. So it's all about, do you want a war right now with Russia? Or do you want to weaken Russia in some kind of war of attrition with proxy forces? I'm afraid that the counseling of Kissinger here is irrelevant because the Washington elite is not looking to do the wisest decision. Thomas Howard says, lol, JF, hip abduction is a specific exercise for training the muscles necessary to spread the legs. Okay, so it's not not as exciting as I thought. I thought they were training for the twerk, for some kind of massive national twerking event, or maybe a twerking protest of some kind. I am reassured and not reassured at the same time. Bruce Willis denies setting rights to his face. So apparently they made an NFT of Bruce Willis, and then some company started claiming. A representative of the company Deep Cake said that they started saying, okay, deepfakes use artificial intelligence and machine learning technology to create realistic videos, often of celebrities or politicians. On 27th of September, okay, it's the Daily Mail that has reported that a deal had been struck between Bruce Willis and Deep Cake. Two-time Emmy winner Bruce Willis can still appear in movies after selling his image rights to Deep Cake, the story reads. The story was picked up by The Telegraph and a series of other media outlets. Bruce Willis has become the first Hollywood star to sell his rights to allow a digital twin of himself to be created for use on screen. But all of this was false. All of this was one journal trying to report what the other journal had said and embellishing it at every step. And it got to the point of, you know, Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis may not even be able to play in movies anymore. He totally sold all his digital rights. But that was false. So that's sometimes this game of telephone happens in the mainstream media, and that's one case of it. Kazakhstan ready to legalize crypto as Russians flock to the country. Oh yeah, that's why I'm not super... I'm not afraid of these countries that make crypto illegal. It's only a matter of time before the situation makes it so that, hey, you have basically sleeping billions of dollars in all these people. You can make crypto illegal, and these people will just say, I don't have crypto. And then, but you can make crypto legal, and suddenly these Russian tourists are spending, they're exchanging Bitcoin against whatever the local money is, and then they're starting to spend in your countries. So that makes your businesses rich, that makes your country rich with taxes. It's there's no way around it. Whenever it becomes essential to a country, they will legalize crypto, and they would realize they're stupid not to have done it before, because you would have had an opportunity for all of the gains of value of crypto over the many years. Your citizens could have been making these gains. Thomas O'Ward says, it's all a display to demonstrate their seriousness in training for hardcore bedroom / hot tub activities. These girls are treating it like an Olympic event. Obsession is good in the short term. Discipline is better over time. These girls are obsessed. Okay. Okay, I guess that's a psychological analysis of the woman in gyms. As for my view of this, I don't think that gym training of any kind is necessary for a female sexual performance. But that's just my view. To me, you know, you're not going to make it more pleasurable by having a more intense movement in any direction. That is not what sex is about. That is not what female sex is about. Pain is huge. But remember, early 2001, credit protection panic in a peak. It is hard to find superlatives for the move in credit protection. Europe is, of course, the biggest sucker, but that shouldn't be a surprise. Okay, what is this article about? I don't even know. Why did I? I think I accidentally slided it in. And this tweet has been shared on the Discord. It is fake news, because Jim Cramer would have been saying, It is incredibly unlikely that Russia will use nuclear weapons. And then people would say, uh-oh, bunker time, because Jim Cramer is never right about his predictions. But it turns out it's a fake account, a parody account of Jim Cramer. So it is reassuring. Jim Cramer didn't say that Russia wouldn't use nuclear weapon, because he would most likely have been wrong, like most things he said in the COVID crisis. Thomas O'Ward says, it's all okay, this one I read. By the way, I watched as a follow-up to a super chat that was trying to force me to watch Utopia. I watched Utopia US version, and then the guy was not satisfied. Karl Marxworth was not satisfied because I had to watch the UK version. I have watched one episode of the UK version yesterday. It's one of the rare cases where actually the UK version is less cringy than the US version. Now, it's still lost in this UK filming style of bizarre, like circus creepy type of visuals. You know what I'm talking about? Like, psychedelic type of editing that, ooh, we're a deep filming company. So it's kind of annoying, but at least it's not as cringy as the American version, where basically it's a bunch of kids running after a cartoon. Now, I'm not, I don't think it's the suspense is not super well set, and I'm not fascinated by it, but I might give a try to a couple more episodes tonight, because there's kind of a question. Okay, they're talking about intentionally inducing viral epidemics with the goal of selling vaccines, basically. And that's kind of based. Now you have to consider this was produced in 2013, I think. So it was before COVID, but they were kind of based in a way that they wouldn't be allowed to be today, because if you were to do this today, that would be an attack on the vaccine for COVID. But I guess back then, no one cared and you could do that. But then there's this whole link with, oh yeah, it's a bunch of people intentionally seeding epidemics and selling vaccines. But then there's a cartoon magazine type of cartoon, illustrated image. I don't know what's the name of this, but you know, comics. It's a comics, and the comics contains precog predictions about these pandemics being deployed. And then the question is, was the author trying to warn us of advanced knowledge that epidemics are caused by human companies to profit off of the people? Kind of interesting, at like 5 out of 10 levels of interest. I will watch it because art is crap these days, and he says, it all gets explained, it does make sense. Well, I'll go check it out. I'll go check it out tonight. I may watch episode 2, 3, 4. And it's not something I'm going to be addicted to, though, because the pain of the suspense structure built around a comics, and the fact that there are massive fans of these comics who want to buy the comics, so that they know these codes. It's kind of, it lacks the Westworld level of meta world. That's it for tonight, boys. I'll go sleep or watch, maybe just before I sleep, I'll watch some episodes of this show. Hopefully I can watch enough to satisfy Karl Marxworth that I have been responsive to his super chat. Much love, everyone. Thanks for being here, and I'll see you all tomorrow.